Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Father, I just ask you, speak to us tonight. Release exactly what we need to hear. In Jesus' mighty name. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8, we've been here for a few weeks, says, "Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command ye this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go in, you go to possess it." Amen. Now, we've been on this verse and we found that this is talking about the promised land we're to possess, right? We know God has territory He wants His people to settle in and drive out the false inhabitants, right? For example, I believe Georgetown is a territory He wants His people to take and the surrounding areas. You follow me? I believe He wants to set up a place here where Holy Ghost Christians are running the city. Holy Ghost City Christians are owning the businesses. I really believe that. That His people, God has so favored His people that they rise up and control the atmosphere of this region. Praise God. Can you believe that with me? Now, I know that's far-fetched. I know to the natural mind it seems like, well, He's lost it now. He thinks they're going to take the city. You know, it's never happened before. There has never been a city. Well, there probably have been. There actually probably have been to some level. Well, actually, I'm told there hasn't. I may have to edit this tape, but I'll get this right. There has never been a city that Holy Ghost Christians have taken over the city. Even in Seoul, South Korea, where Dr. Paul Youngi Cho has his church of 1 million members, they do not possess the governmental positions. You follow me? They own the church positions. They have an anointing out the roof, but still the enemy's controlling the areas of authority in that region. God wants to raise up a people that will control every area of influence, every mind-molding mountain of influence. Now, I understand it's never happened before. You follow me? Well, there was a time that no woman had ever had a baby that was a virgin. You follow me? There was a time, you know, when nobody could ever be born again. There was a time when no one ever spoke in tongues. But things shifted with the cross. And the closer we get to the second coming, the more things are going to shift and more we're going to see stuff happen that has never happened before. Amen. And I'm not going by what sounds reasonable. I'm going by what it says in the Word. And God said the earth would be filled with glory. And He gave me the vision of the city of glory, cities of glory. Amen. So I'm believing for God to do a move in this area. And it says here, if we're going to do this, we must be strong. Now, we already talked about it, and I don't want to go into detail in it tonight. But we understand the first area of territory we got to take is the 6 inches of dirt between our ears. You got to let the Word of God bring in the Word of God so it dominates your thinking so that you become spiritually minded, that you can think in line with the Word of God. You know, if we went back 10 years or 20 years, we couldn't even imagine that we would be believing what we believe now. I mean, 20 years ago, would you believe that people would be coming up paralyzed, they'd all be getting healed all the time? No, you know, it's possible, but your faith may not be there. We expect it now, right? And God's moving like never before. But He says here in verse 8 that you must be strong. And what we've been talking about is this area of being strong. And we started discussing being strong in what area? Faith, right? He's not talking about being muscularly strong. They're going into a land full of giants. The giants have bigger muscles than they have. You follow me? They're physically more capable than Israel was equipped. So He wasn't talking about physical strength. Was He talking about willpower? Just being a determination? Now, there's been a lot of determined people that have gotten their teeth knocked in. It's not always the most determined person wins the fight. Usually a bigger person will win over a more determined person. You know, you look at college football. And you can have, you know, some of these schools like Alabama and again Tennessee soon, They recruit top players from around the nation, five stars, high as you get, five-star candidates from around the nation. And they get these players together that they may have a horrible work ethics, a lot of them. May not be the most motivated, but they have giftings, physical giftings that are phenomenal. And they might play some small school, and this small school may be the most determined, well, how can I say it, disciplined team out there. Alabama's still going to run over top of them. Their lazy big guys will run right over determined. You follow me? Determined is good, but it's better if you got big guys that are determined. So he's not talking about physical strength. He's not talking about determination or willpower. He's talking about the force of faith. Remember it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, and the force is the force of faith. God says if you're going to take the land, you're going to have to do it with my partnership. If you're going to possess what I've told you you're going to possess, you will only do it as you partner with me. Because I'm going to call you to go into places where the inhabitants are stronger than you are. They're more in number than you are. He told Israel, I'm going to send you to a land whose inhabitants eat up all the people around. A people of seven nations, he said, greater and mightier than Israel. He said, yet I'm going to send you in and give you their land. Israel did not have the ability to do this without God. The very first city they went against was Jericho. And they had no ability to take Jericho of their own strength. The walls of Jericho were enormous and thick. They would run chariots across the top of the walls of Jericho. Impossible city for Israel to take. So what do? They pray and God says, march around the city seven times. On the seventh day, march seven times. Shout. Blow your trumpets and the walls will fall down. And they did. The walls fell flat into the ground. They sunk into the ground. The ground opened up underneath the walls. Israel walked right over the top of the walls and took the city. You follow me? How did they do it? They did it by faith. They did it in partnership with God. One of the biggest mistakes we make as Christians is whatever we're doing, we forget to invite God in on it. I don't care if you're, washing out the bathtub. Ask God to get in with it. And so we forget to invite God to help us. And God wants to train us to partner with Him in whatever we're doing. So as we progress along in this adventure of fulfilling His calling, we learn to bring Him along and even go ahead of us and make the way straight for us. But God wants to get us in this realm of living by faith, where we're believing the supernatural is going to open the doors. We've got to believe that we have this favor of God. Wherever we go, God's gone before us, and He's already prepared people's heart to receive us. We get the best jobs. We get the best favor. Everything we put our hand to does prosper. You follow me? So we ask God to be involved in what we're doing. In fact, we even ask God, what should we be involved in doing? And then ask Him to go before us in it. Right? So God wants us to be strong in faith in learning how to use our faith in the Word of God to fulfill His assignment on our lives. Amen. So we're to be strong in faith. And what we've been looking at up to this point is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith development does not come by accident. It doesn't. You don't stumble on all of a sudden, I'm living by faith. Faith is developed with intention. Faith is saying, I'm going to get into this book, and I'm going to let this book get into me, and I'm going to live by the power contained within these scriptures. The Word of God is alive and powerful. You get the Word in you, you will be alive and powerful. No Word in you, you are dead and powerless. Did you follow me? You have no Word in you, your batteries are dead, and you can't really do anything supernatural. And without the supernatural, I want you to envision this for a minute. You're wanting to go in and be favored in the city and go to the position God wants to have you in. It's not going to be because people like you. They are not going to like you because you are a Christian. The devil in them is going to rise up against the God in you. And they will smile and they will shake your hand and they will do business with you as long as you stay in your place. You follow me? And they can make money from you or gain some type of, you know, advantage. But as soon as you start to threaten their position, you're not going to be their friend anymore. So it's not going to be through our nice smile and our pleasant personality. It's going to be because we've said, God, I have favor with you. You open the doors before me. You make the way plain. And we're going to have to learn how to call upon God and say, God, bring me to the position you'd have me in. And demand that the devil and all the people he's controlling get out of the way. So we've got to be those that have in us the Word of God that has the power of God to move the mountains out of the way. And most of those mountains come in the form of people. Most of the mountains you're going to face will come in the form of people trying to stop you. You know, I like what Creflo Dollar did. Creflo Dollar bought a shopping center in College Park, Georgia, right there outside of Atlanta and on the edge of Atlanta. And he built his dome right there at the shopping center. So he uses the shopping center for all the offices and everything. And then the dome is where, you know, his sanctuary is. I believe it seats 12,000, something like that. Huge dome. Marvelous. Marvelous construction. And he went to build this and the city board said, no, you can't do it. I don't know if it was modifying the shopping center or building the dome. Some part of it says, you can't do it. He says, oh, God's told me to do it. I'm going to do it. And he says, no, we're not going to allow you to do it. He said, in 6 months, every one of you that have tried to stop me from this will be off this board or dead. I think he said or dead. But he said, you'll be off the board. And in 6 months, they were all gone and they voted in his dome. And it's there now. You follow me? There will be mountains rise up that you got to say, I have favor with God. God's told me to do it. And no demoniac inspired person is going to keep me from it. You follow me? But this is only possible if you're strong in faith. If you spent time bringing in the Word and confessing the Word. You know, I started out tonight just confessing scriptures. Just speaking the Word to release strength in the place. And I'm hoping some of you heard what I was saying and you were saying, yes, I receive that. And yes, praise God, I agree with that. Glory to God. And you can feel strength from it. There's power in the Word. So we are to possess some territory. Now Deuteronomy was written right before they went and possessed the land, right? It was the last month before they went and possessed. So Joshua is actually where they go in. So let's go to the book of Joshua. And I taught on this not very long ago, but it falls in line with what we're on in this teaching. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now God tells Joshua, go over. You follow me? It's time to cross over. Moses is dead. I'm raising up a new generation, and you're in charge. And then he says this, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. Do you see this? God tells Joshua, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given you that land. You know, we've used this verse for years, claiming things by faith. You know, we'll see the house we want. So people will drive up to the house and run around the front yard and say, bless God, my foot's been on this land. I claim it in Jesus' name and run off, you know. Well, my foot was on the land, so it's mine. Well, it could have been eight other Christians drove up here before you did. Who was first? If it even worked like that, which it doesn't. Or, you know, we'll claim buildings for the church and go run around them. Well, I've been around it. I claim it in Jesus' name. How do you know that God wanted you to have that building? You follow me? Too many times we tend to take promises of God and try to make the promises of God line up to what we wanted to do in the first place. Sometimes we try to take scriptures and use them inappropriately, to use them to say, okay, I can use it for my own benefit or my own purpose. Here God told Joshua, every place the sole of your foot treads, that have I given to you. What if Joshua had got on a boat, went to Rome, walked through Rome and says, I claim this in the name of the Lord? Would he have received that land? What if the boat got lost in a storm, ended up in the United States? What would become the United States? He says, I claim this in the name of the Lord. Would he have had that land? Y'all afraid to answer or what? Well, let's read the next verse. He says, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Do you see that? He tells him the exact boundaries of the land he's given. He didn't say wherever you go. He said wherever you go within these boundaries. In other words, God wasn't saying to Joshua, just because you stepped on it, you can have it. God already told him what he could have. You follow me? He said, I give you all the way to the Euphrates River, which is, you know, up by Iran, Iraq. North of that. That's where actually Abraham came from, just north of that river. All the way to the Mediterranean, the sea, down to the wilderness of the desert, on around to the Jordan. He says, I've given you that land. Did you know Israel has never taken that land? Even at their greatest height, even under King David, they never took all the land God told them they could have. And now today, they have only a small, wee fraction of that land. God wasn't saying, because you set your feet on it, I give it to you. He was saying, whatever you will step into and possess within these boundaries, I'll be behind you in it. In fact, look at the next verse. Verse 5 says, there shall not any man, just say mountain for a minute. Remember we said a lot of times your mountain is a man? There shall not any mountain man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now stop right there. He says, within the boundaries I prescribed for Israel, wherever you will march in and learn to call upon my assistance, I will lead you to possess that portion of it. See, they weren't allowed. Joshua couldn't go to Rome and claim it. It wasn't in those boundaries. He couldn't get lost, and because he set foot in the United States, say, well, I just claim this, Indians, you get out of here. You follow me? Wasn't within the boundaries. Basically, what God described is he gave Joshua and Israel a image of all that was potentially in their, how can I say, within their power with God's assistance to possess. He said, I'm going to give you all of this territory. All you got to do is now go in with my assistance and start to possess it. And as they would march forward and seek God, they would win the military victories and take that portion of land. Now, it's interesting, the vast majority of land Israel took was mountain land, because they were forbidden to have horses, to use horses and chariots primarily. They never were able to develop the faith necessary to take the land of the plains that the Philistines dwelt in, which was a good portion of the land. So they fought battles with that all through their history for that land and never really fully took it. See, they had enough faith to believe they could battle one-on-one in the mountains at their level, but they never developed enough faith to take the land way beyond their natural ability to take. You follow me? And God wants to take us way beyond being limited by what we think we can do or what we think we can take, and just call upon Him for direction on how to take way beyond what we think is possible. Now, the way we can apply this to our lives is, first of all, I can't go to any city other than Georgetown. You know, I was talking with somebody today about this cooler weather. I think it was Betty. And I said, hey, if not for the call of God, I'd be in Florida somewhere. If I could drag my wife down there. Someplace warmer. You follow me? I'm a warm weather person. As you can see, I'm in fleece tonight inside. I like warm. But I can't, because God's called me to Georgetown. I never dreamed when I got out of college I would ever move further north than Knoxville. But you know, God had another plan to get me up here. So I have been given Georgetown to the level I and we will use our faith to go in and possess it. That we will start claiming it, decreeing it, and moving in to possess it. But if we just stay within these four walls, well, I just believe we have Georgetown. You follow me? We'll stay locked up in here. God will give you what you'll believe to possess within the boundaries of what He said you can possess. For example, each of us have to find out what God has called us to, both in the church, and if you're not called to full-time ministry, within your profession, right? And you got to find out, what is God's vision for your profession? You know, Kevin Holleran, Pastor Chad's dad, has a vision for his business. They sell carpet and flooring. And he has an image. He says that he believes God has given to him about having the largest, most profitable flooring dealership in Kentucky. Is that right? And they started off just, you know, a little bitty, you know, mom and pop business. And that thing's taken off. And during the recession, they were the only ones selling carpet. Other carpet companies were coming spying, trying to find how they were doing it. And what they were doing is confessing the word a couple hundred times a day that they prosper, and sowing seed for it. And every month, they've been setting new records for sales. So now they're talking about they're moving to a larger showroom. They're talking about opening up other branches of showrooms. Kevin's got this all in his mind when he's going out to possess. So whatever business God's got you in, you gotta call upon God and say, God, show me the boundaries for this thing. Because if we don't ask God for His boundaries, we'll relegate what we think we can possess to our own reasoning based on man's strength. And we got to go beyond that. God told me the glory is coming through church business partnerships. And I believe it's coming through businesses that get a hold of God's vision and start possessing. So, here's examples. I'm going to give some examples tonight. That be okay? Robert is now chief CEO of Watts Lawn Care, right? Is it Watts Lawn Care? Watts Lawn Care. This is your first year, I believe, right? First year with it. He'd worked under somebody else, their lawn care business for years, and they sold him half the business. He's now his own CEO. Are you following me? Now, by his own planning without God, he may think, well, you know, I can mow this many lawns. You know, if I mowed 5 lawns a day, you know, once a week, times 6 days a week, that's 30 lawns a week, I could do this much business, you know, da-da-da-da, hire a helper, I could do this. And, you know, he may target doing that. I'm not trying to speak a vision for him. I'm just telling you what can happen. He goes to God and says, God, what would you have me do with this? You've given me this opportunity. You've put this open door in my hand. What would you have me do? And he's praying, and he gets the revelation that God wants him to own all the lawn care of the entire county. He does every lawn. Every other lawn service works under him. And God says, I don't want you just to possess the lawn care companies. I want you to possess the landscaping companies, the tree trimming companies, all the snow and salt removal business. You follow me? I want you then to move into having your own earth moving equipment and get civil engineers. You'll have your own construction company. And then God says, because I'm going to have you build, you know, the Love Dome in Georgetown. I'm not looking for the Love Dome. That just one thing I think of right at the moment. You follow me? The Love Dome. Amen. And God says, I need you to design. I need you to have the designers. I need you to build this thing. You're going to build the whole thing for Pastor Jack. He's going, wow. You know what he's going to do then? He's got some big boundaries now to fill. He's got something God's given him, placed it down inside of him. He's got a big thing. He's got to build his faith towards it. He's got to start taking in the Word of God, bringing the Word, confessing the Word, and then he's got to start moving his feet to possess. You follow me? He's got to start possessing. Now, the first place he possesses is by laying on his face and seeking God. Or walking through the church and praying in the Holy Ghost. And he hears God on the next step to take. You follow me? God says, there's another business going there's another lawn care business going out of business. They want to sell their equipment at a fraction of the price of any money now. Call them. And he makes a call, and for $500, they sell him, you know, 5 brand new zero-turn radius mowers just because they need to get rid of them. And all of a sudden, he's got 5 mowers, and he thinks, man, that means I can do 5 people mowing at once. I need to hire people. But first, I need the business. And God says, well, I know you got the mowers now, and not only that, they want to give you all their business contacts, and things start to expand. And then, you know, the weather starts to turn cold, and he's praying, and the Lord says, go buy a salt spreader. Buy a salt spreader. And, you know, he doesn't have any contacts. But he scrapes up all the money he has, goes buys a salt spreader. Next, you know, here the phone starts ringing. Biggest blizzard ever. Did y'all ever see Forrest Gump? And he buys the boat, right? And then the hurricane hits. He's the only one out there in the hurricane. Every other boat is wrecked in port. And next thing, he owns a shipping business. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. But you got to start moving your feet towards it. If all he does is have it in his image, if his image he's got is me and one mower, and Aaron can help me, he will never feel very big boundaries. He's got to get a picture from God, like God gave Joshua a picture, and then start moving into it. Start seeking God and say, God, what is the next step we're to do? That's what we were doing before we came in this building. I was seeking God, saying, God, what do we do? I need this and this and this. You know, bigger facility. I need parking facilities. I need a children's church worker. I need a worship team. And I'm praying God, and I'm seeking, and I'm fasting. And somebody walks in the door and says, we want to give you a church. Will you come and pastor us? You follow me? And God brings us to this facility. And then starts bringing us everything we need. Stained glass. You know, you name it. Everything just given to us. Or put in our hand at the right time. I mean, a coffee maker. Glory to God. a coffee maker. And then the door's open, all this other stuff's in there. Praise you, Jesus. Like I told you guys, I bought 40 gallons of paint. High quality, new paint. For $91 the other day. I got all kinds of colors. Praise God, different types of paint. Got a bunch of gold paint. I mean, we got paint. Well, for $91, that's 3 gallons of what I usually pay for our paint. I got 40 gallons. We got paint to paint whatever we want to now. You follow me? But I'm talking about favor of God. There's something going to paint here soon. I stepped in that Ford building, 2 years ago? And God said, this is your building. I heard it. Clear. This is your building. Thank you, Jesus. Now, y'all don't go spreading that around because people in town get upset. Who does he think he is? It's a family secret. Of course, it's on the CD now. I don't care about that. If you hear it on a CD, keep it quiet. But we're just believing God to give that to us. You follow me? And I'd be calling him now, but God's told me don't call him yet. It's not time. Don't call him yet. Not yet. You get ahead of me. So we're just maxing out what we can here. And God speaks to Alma and says, you're a stay-at-home mom right now, but there's coming a time. I want you to own all the food catering in Georgetown. Amen? Start believing me to take your soup recipes and all your other recipes and your greens and all this stuff and get ready to cater to the country people. Glory to God. And she starts exploring. Okay, how do I license? How do I do this? How do I go about all this? And she's stepping into it. You follow me? Aaron and I have a vision for the worship team. And I think they're very similar. Well, we expect to have every instrument represented with Holy Ghost Christians that flow in the anointing and a heart of divine order. Amen. And the instruments they need to play on being the top of the line. That's why when we went to get that piano, I said, let's get a good one. We don't want no little rinky-dink thing. Let's start moving into it. Let's invest in the vision. And so each of you, God's got something he wants you to do. Jason could be God saying, okay, time to have your own plumbing business. I want you to have all the plumbing operation in all of Georgetown. Again, I'm not trying to speak visions to people, you follow me? I'm just telling you this is what God will do. He'll put something in you besides just getting by. And he'll say, now step into it. That's what God was telling Joshua. Every place the sole of your feet treads, that have I given to you. Whatever you will go in and step into and possess, you can have it. Not wherever you step, you get it. We got so many flaky Christians out there. Mark Barkley, when he was in Lexington here, week before last, he started talking about flaky Christians. He said, we're a Holy Ghost, but we're not flaky. And you got flaky people out there. And if you've been doing this, please forgive me in advance. If they're running, they'll jump on some property and say, well, I stepped on it. Glory to God, it's mine. Hallelujah. And go home and never do a thing to possess anything. I remember when we first got into this faith movement, there was one big house overlooking Frankfort, up on this hill. And half the people in the church had claimed it. I'm talking about like a $1 million house. And people were getting upset because they'd each claim the same house. That's mine. I mean, there's none of them in it. I'm sure there's still some heathen in it. You're going to find out how God said to prosper to possess a house. You follow me? You're going to have to believe God for some level of favor. That as you're doing what he's told you to do, he's going to turn it over to you. But you can't just sit back and claim and do nothing. You have to prepare for it. We were at a meeting, it's been about 3 years ago, at the Kenneth Copeland Ministers Convention. All pastors, or pastors can bring one guest. And Peter Daniels was there. Peter Daniels is a multi-billionaire Christian, Holy Ghost Christian. And he was talking about stepping into your dreams. And he said, I want to ask for some people that have a dream, something big that God wants them to fulfill. And I don't want pastors. I said, I want, you know, lay people. I want you to come down and tell me what, you know, you're believing God for. And of course, Copeland Ministries, it's a prosperity ministry. It's faith, and prosperity is part of that package. So there were several people raised their hand. He called them down there. And he starts asking, what are you believing for? What do you believe God for? And woman said, I'm believing for a Holy Spirit, a set of Holy Spirit cruise liners. We're going to have a cruise liners that'll be nothing but Holy Spirit people on them. They'll be preaching and all this stuff going on all the time. And she said, I'm going to possess all these. And of course, this woman was 40-ish or so. He said, how many do you have now? She said, zero. He said, how much money do you have set aside now to buy one? Well, nothing. I've sown it all. He said, what do you know about the cruise business? Well, nothing. Who has cruise ships for sale? I don't know. He's saying, how are you going to get these ships? Well, God's going to give them to me. Do you understand? She's got a dream, and it could even be a God dream. But there's no possession being launched. Chances are she just went on a cruise and stepped on the cruise ship. She says, bless God, I'm on a ship. My feet have said, I've stepped on the ship. It's mine. Probably took three cruises just to step on three different ships. And people are marching out without any effort to apply themselves to really step in and possess. Israel was not allowed to go to the edge of the Jordan and say, okay, God, build us a bridge over the Jordan at flood stage. You follow me? And go ahead and knock out all the enemies while you're at it. We'll go in and take over. We'll go in and just live in their places. No, you know what they had to do? The Jordan was flooded. God said, go across it. The priests stepped into the Jordan at flood stage with it, the water rushing by, and the waters parted. They stepped in by faith. They come up to Jericho. And then the manna stops. They get across the manna stops. They got nothing to eat. The rivers come back together. There's no going back. You follow me? And the Manaquists, they either take Jericho or they starve to death. So guess what they're doing? They are seeking God on how to possess the next step. How do we take Jericho the next step? Everybody say next step. They're seeking God on the next step. And God says, here's how you take it. And they go take Jericho. God didn't run all the inhabitants out of the land all at once. They only took what they went against. They only possessed what they confronted. You're going to possess something, you're going to do some confronting. There will be some confrontations. You're going to get in the devil's face. You follow me? At times you may have to get in people's face. But you're going to become a threat to those that are standing in what you're to own. Is anybody following me tonight? And so guess what? They took Jericho. What was the name of the next city they were to go against? Anybody remember? Ai. Jericho was huge and fortified. Ai was very small. In fact, it was so small, Israel got together and said, you know, hey, we took Jericho. It was no big deal. Let's go against Ai. So they marched just a fraction of troops out against Ai, and they got their butts kicked. And they came back and said, what's going on? God said, you didn't seek me. You didn't get me involved in it. You just decided you could do it yourself. And you went without me. Not to mention there's sin in the camp. There's some people took some stuff out of Jericho that weren't supposed to. Deal with that, and then I'll let you go take Ai. What happened? They can only possess to the level they would seek and partner with God. And their expansion and fulfillment of vision required it. And they expanded. See, they never filled the boundaries. So they expanded as far as their faith could reach or their desire motivated them. So there's a chance they got to a level. There's a chance. I'm going to tell you a good chance of what happened. They probably got to a place where they had enough houses for everybody to live in. They had sufficient food, maybe an abundance of food. And the next battle looked like some tough characters. They said, we're happy here. Why should we risk God not backing us up? Why should we risk not pressing forward anymore? And they stopped short of taking all that God said they could take. God didn't say stop when it's comfortable. In fact, he warned them against that. He says, when you get in there and you start taking the land, you say, well, I've got goodly houses I didn't build, vineyards I didn't plant. And you start saying in your heart, my wisdom and my strength got me this land. Beware, because God's about to deal with you. You follow me? So they had to call on God for these steps to take to go in. And you know what? Find out what God wants you to do and then partner with him. And God will make it an adventure to fulfill it. Now see, hopefully I'm not scared anybody off tonight, because, hey, if I don't take half the city, Pastor Jack's going to think I failed. No. Find out from God. I'm with you all the way. Just don't have any small vision. God's not in the small. And don't conjure it up yourself. Seek God till something rises up down in here, and you know that's what you're to possess. Did you follow me? This is a nice building. When I moved in here, I went, wow, that's a lot of space. Especially when you've been boxed up in 800 square feet sanctuary, you know? Yeah. Wow. I went from 800 feet to, what's this, 7,000 in this area? Of course, we had more than that starting out. It was all wide open. Probably 11,000 feet you could see. Well, part of it you couldn't see. It was in the back. And I'm going, wow, this is huge. You know what I see now? I see small. But I mean, in my mind, I see this place already packed. I see nights like we had in Elaine Holman, and this place is packed out, and I want it to be like that. But, we get to packing this place out, and we're running two or three services, which we very well do. I see way beyond this place. I see the Ford business seating 2,500, multiple services. But that's not the end of the road. I believe God wants to possess the cities. How many people are in Georgetown? 30,000? 40,000? I want them all. All but the rebellious ones. Devil can have them. I want the harvest. I want us, listen, I think we should own Georgetown College. You follow me? I mean, it was set up as a Christian college. Did you know the Southern Baptists have now separated ties with Georgetown College because they say they're too secular? Georgetown College is not a Baptist school anymore. It's been excommunicated because it's secular. I think it's time it was back to being not just Christian, but Holy Ghost. They set up a Holy Ghost university there, right? They got it all set up, got a curriculum, everything. All we do is just go in and spiritualize a thing, get the unbelief out and put Holy Ghost teachers in. Why not? I think Holy Ghost people ought to be in the mayor's office, the city council, the aldermen, all the representatives, Holy Ghost, I believe. And guess what? You guys are the candidates. Praise God. Did you know this nation was founded? They signed the Declaration of Independence. I forget, was it 13 of the signers were pastors? And all of them Christian. For the most part, a few deists. It's time to get back to that. That's God's plan. He's just looking for us to believe for it. Amen. And start stepping into it. So seek God on it. Partner with Him for it. And believe God just to blow your life wide open. You talk about, see, you want to talk about somebody excited with life? Pastor Chad's parents are excited. Your parents are excited, aren't they? They are excited about God. It's not that, oh, I got all this work to do. It's like, glory to God. We just keep praying. He keeps opening doors. We just confess sales and here come people to buy our carpet. That carpet company is exploding and they're excited. They can't wait to see what God's going to do next. What door is He going to open now? How do we do this? What do we do? Now, guess what? They're busy. They are busy. But they're busy enjoying God blessing them. And of course, Diane here this year bought her a, Kevin bought her a brand new Mustang V8 maxed out 2011, right? 05? I thought it was a brand new one. Amen. Well, she got this Mustang she's flying around in now. Amen. She's enjoying that too. Blessings of God. She'll have a new one soon. She knows that too, though. Refuse to be kept in a box. Refuse for your mind to limit what you think you can do. Choose to think, what? Just imagine, what could I do if God was fully behind me? What could I do if I was a tither and in partnership with Him? Do you understand that you're not in partnership with God till you're a tither? I know everybody in here is a tither. I'm talking about for the sake of the CD. You become a tither. You become a partner with God. Guess what? If you're playing two-man football, and it's you and God, we'll just say you and Jesus, on one team, I don't care who you put on the other team. You're going to win. I mean, nothing else. Jesus, you know, He gives you the ball. That's what happens. He gives you the ball. He goes out in front of you as a blocker. He kind of puts His hands like this out front, and they all fall out in the Holy Ghost. You just run for a touchdown every time. You know, here come they're carrying the ball at you, and He just kind of blows out, the ball's on the ground, you pick it up for another touchdown. You and God will win every time. So if you are a tither, you are a partner with God, God is looking for somebody that He can give the ball to run to knock all these heathen out of the way. Can you see it? He's wanting them out of the way. We just have to call upon God for wisdom what to do. See, I believe there's people in this church God's going to lead them to run for political office. Amen. He's going to bring people in here. He's going to put in judge positions. Of course, most judge positions you need to have a law degree, right? Most of them, I think, are many. Or it's important. Well, God may lead you to get an education. Education is not a sin as long as you keep your faith in the midst of it. Some jobs that He wants to put us in require education. I don't want a bookkeeper for my business, you know, that learned in a correspondence school. You follow me? And of course, if it's a good correspondence, the internet school, that'd be fine. But I'm talking about, you know, let's change it. They took bookkeeping in high school. They're not going to be my CPA. I'm going to take somebody educated in the laws, you follow me, in the rules. point being is, find out what God said to do and then step into it. You follow me? And then, look at the next verse, verse 6. Now he's told them, he's given them the land. Wherever they'll possess it, they can have it. Right? He said he'll be with them and not forsake or fail them all the way. But then he says, be strong in what? Be strong in faith. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall the divide for an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be strong in faith. Now here's a mistake we can make. We can have the vision of God and run out there trying to do it versus stay in the Word long enough to build our faith to enable us to do it with God. And you get a vision from God and you try to run out and do it yourself, you will burn yourself out. So you got to make sure you get your word time, your prayer time, and your God direction before you run off doing stuff. Because you'll get ahead of God and start producing Hagar or Ishmaels. Remember Ishmael? Don't get ahead of God. Wait on His direction. Wait on His specific instruction. And then do it. But be preparing all the way. Be learning and educating. But especially be developing your faith. Start confessing you have favor with God, man. Everything you put your hand to prospers. No weapon formed against you prospers. And then start decreeing what God has said. Chaz's dad, Kevin, ministered at one of our PVN conferences here earlier this year, one of our PVN meetings. And he started talking about how he built his business. And he said one time he drove to Louisville and God put it on his heart to confess the favor of God on his business. He started confessing all the way to Louisville. Kevin's Carpets is the highest volume, most profitable carpet store in the state of Kentucky. And he confessed it, was it 500 times? 500 times he kept saying it. Well, that's just legalism. That's crazy. No, he was saying it to speak it out, but also to let him hear his vision, to embed it within him, to strengthen his faith that this is what he's to possess. And guess what? They are well on the way. Be strong and of a good courage. In other words, don't let fear keep you from stepping out. Don't let fear keep you from trying. I would rather fail 20 times and then succeed than never step out. Peter Daniels, who I told you was a multi-billionaire, I forget how many businesses he started that went under before he finally hit it. He'd get an idea, he'd start a business, it'd collapse. Now, this is before he was a Christian, before he was Holy Ghost. He'd try another, it'd collapse. And finally he kept starting businesses and they would fail until finally hit one and it took off and exploded. And now he's wealthy. Rush Limbaugh is one of my favorite commentaries. I know he's hated by so many, but y'all bear with me if you hate him. But he was fired 7 times. I can imagine that. I can believe that. 5 times, 7 times, like fired before he ever became known. But he said he had a faith in himself. And of course, Rush is a Christian. So I believe he had a faith in God too. That there was something in him. I've been listening to him for over 20 years. And he's always said, I've got talent on loan from God. Make some people mad, but I believe it. What other source of talent is there? And he said, he's told his testimony many times. He says, I believed that I had a vision of what I could do in this line of business. And they told him what he was going to do was going to be impossible. He said he wanted a 3-hour program. There would be no guests on the show. It'd just be him for 3 hours. And I said, you can't do that. Nobody can do that. And he believed in himself. And no one would give him the radio spot, so he started his own company. EIB was his own creation. Excellence in Broadcast. You know what? Rush ain't broke no more. In fact, companies that advertise with him tend to skyrocket. And those that pulled away have gone under. You ever hear of Snapple soft drinks? Just Snapple got their main start on his program. Back in the 80s, 90s, I guess, they started advertising with Rush Limbaugh, and their sales exploded. Then they got big enough, they thought, you know, they could do it themselves. They pulled out of his program. And how many have seen Snapple lately? It's hardly out there. Gone under. The point is, find out what God has called you to do and then start to possess it. By faith. Have I got you stretched out there too far tonight? We as a church will have to stretch into it. I'm always looking, what can I stretch into? What can we move out into? What people do I have that will stretch with me into something? Because where we're at, we can't stretch any further without people to do it. God's basically told me to put down the hammer, pick up the spear. And God said he'd raise up people to do stuff around here. Well, I believe I receive. Amen. And we will be, listen to me, we will be not just the church, the largest church in Georgetown. We will be the church in Georgetown. We will be the church of Georgetown, of this county. And it will be known all around what the church in Georgetown is. That's my vision. And we will have services, multiple services, not just Sunday, but through the week, because we can't house everybody that wants to come and hear the Word of God. There will be people in here that will be preaching every week. We will have people taking turns to preach the Word to all the people coming in. You follow me? We will have the jamminest, rockinest worship team that Kentucky has ever seen up to this point. And we will have, it's going to be wall to wall. Prosperity on every side. Multitude saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered and healed. Miracles as people come in the door. I'm believing people will drive down the interstate. I've been talking about this for 10 years. People will drive down the interstate and the power of God will hit them and they'll pull in and they'll get healed and delivered. Saying, what is going on? I feel something in this place. I'll say, it's from that church right down around there. We just have to elevate what we envision God's going to do. Not to mention a website at the top. Praise God, virtual church. Virtual churches all over the world tuning in. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for a people crazy enough to follow me into what you've shown me. But it's not crazy, it's faith. And I thank you, Father, you elevate our faith to the next level. I thank you, Father, for blessing each person here, each person that couldn't make it, hundredfold in everything they put their hand to. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Don't let the enemy fog your vision of glory. God wants to take us somewhere, right? If you need special prayer, be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck, share the love of God, be a blessing.